All right, what's up, world?
What's up, everybody?
It's been too long, so there's gonna be multiple episodes. But anyway, who am I? I am Sky. I'm straight out the Southwest Atlanta, where there are no beach cabanas, but currently in the Wild Wild West, living really stressed and fresh. And I'm with who?
What's up, world? It's your girl Silves, VA all day, two up, two down. I'm here. Like, I don't really have a better answer for that.
And who right are now. We? We are Shea Butter FC, a podcast featuring two Black women's perspectives on soccer, football, and everything in between.
Delivering content with soul and seasoning that'll moisturize your skin.
And lay your edges.
And deepen your love for all things Black women.
And so what we're going to do in this episode, that I'm not going to say the length of time, we're going to talk about the NWSL this week, specifically talk about our teams. So somebody's going to talk about Old Rain. We're going to talk about Angel City. In this episode, you will eventually hear clips from interviews that were I did not get a chance to post from Madison Hammond, Scarlett Camberos, Jasmine Spencer, M.A. Vignola, and also a Naomi Gurma. And then also, we'll do some thoughts in this some rants and raves and hits and rips and shit. But anywho, let's get into the week of the NWSL. We are in week, I don't know. What week is this?
We just finished match day 5.
Match day 5. And some challenge cups, too, have already happened. But anywho, so what happened this weekend? OL Rain was reigning supreme. Cha-ching. And they won 5-2 against the Chicago Red Stars. Washington Spirit. And Houston Dash. 0-0. Gotham FC versus North Carolina Courage. Gotham won. Really? Wait, is that right? That's the wrong week.
I'm
super confused. I'm looking at the wrong week, y'all. Hold on.
You're looking at week 4.
Yeah. Whoops. My bad. Bring it back. Hold on. Just kidding. Because I was like, that's wrong. So ignore all what I just said. Bring it back. So in match day 5, the Houston Dash lost to the North Carolina Courage 1-0. That was on Friday. Then on Saturday, the Racing Louisville drew with the OL Reign in the 2-2 situation. The Chicago Red Stars drew the Washington Spirit 1-1. Mm-hmm. The San Diego Wave lost to the Orlando Pride 3-1.
Yeah.
The Portland Thorns and the Angel City situation drew each other in an extreme NWSL After Dark game. And then the Kansas City Current beat Gotham.
Gotham lost to us.
Oh, wait, but did they lose to y'all in this season?
Yes, 2-0.
Oh, I'm tripping. Oh, yeah, from the last week. I'm tripping. Okay. Anyway, it's been a long time. Okay, we back. Anywho, so let's talk about it. Let's see. For the Houston Dash and the North Carolina Courage situation, that game in half, basically.
53 minutes officially. It's a 53-minute game.
Yeah.
Yeah. It got called due to weather.
As some other games should have probably been called.
You can look back on that now and say they probably should have made some different decisions this season. But yeah, it was a lightning storm pretty much in Houston that wouldn't stop. And by the time it stopped, it was well past midnight. And so for the health and safety of players, You have to call that game. Like, you can't.
Yeah, because they would have played.
Turn around and play the next day, because both of those teams have Challenge Cup games this week, so they're already working on a three game week.
Right.
And I think at least one of them has to travel, if only back to their home. I think North Carolina plays at home, but they still have to travel back. Stopping and starting, like, there has to be better communication. Excuse me, with teams and players and the people who actually play this sport. But I completely get them calling it. I think we maybe need to look into preemptive postponing as well, because it's not like those storms weren't in the forecast. So trying to sneak a game in isn't always the best call. And sometimes you do that and nothing happens, but I'd rather you be proactive instead of reactive. In some cases. And yeah, I mean, it's not a great competitive game, right? Because you had 30 plus minutes left. And who knows what the scoreline would have been before that. And so I'm sure Houston fans feel hard done, and I don't blame them for that. I don't know if we need to do a petition, but I get it. But I mean, North Carolina fans also could have felt hard done, you know, against Gotham when they waited over 2 hours and still had to play that game and lost, right? Like,
yes,
it's the same circumstances in many ways. And so, yeah, I think there just has to be a better rule, better policy, better follow through, better communication on that. Yeah. But anyway, North Carolina won that game 1-0.
Yes. I didn't watch the Chicago Red Stars Washington Spirit game.
Well, I was otherwise occupied. I actually missed the first half of our game because I was at a work function that I had to go to.
Building character.
Yeah.
But
well, and I had a splitting headache, so it was not a great day, but we salvaged a point. So
before we get into our team situations, the game watch was the Orlando and Wave game.
I was double screening that along with you all's game, I think.
Yeah, so that game was wild because it's been like, so Orlando should have won some games, including against Angel City. I'm saying what I said. We'll get into that later. But that game was interesting because you thought because San Diego scored first, Jaden Shaw? Yeah. San Diego scored first, and so you thought that it's, uh-oh, here we go, same thing, blah, 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 blah. But then Orlando started cooking people up. It started using the Angel City playbook and kind of caused a lot of problems. Messiah Bright was balling, even though she didn't score. She was cooking people up left and right. I think, because I say this because even with, like, example, before Kristen Press got hurt, like, there's stuff that forwards can do that can wreck a game, even if they don't score, that I don't think Messiah's getting the prop she should be getting, because she's been doing this all season. But, yeah, it became a 3-1 situation. Beautiful headers, beautiful balls, beautiful gowns.
It's interesting. Orlando's definitely San Diego's bugaboo. They can't beat them. True. And this is after they went and got Maggie Dory Howard, who pretty much is the reason that Orlando beat San Diego last year. They literally went and got the player to beat them and still lost to Orlando. Yeah, I thought it was very interesting because going into that game, I would have told you, yeah, San Diego has the better midfield. Now, Von Eggman didn't player dress, to my knowledge. Korniak, I guess, is hurt.
Yes,
but they still have Calaprico. They went and got Calaprico for games like this. And not that I think she was an issue or anything, but it's just I didn't peg that Orlando midfield as one that would get to move the ball. And even early on in that game, I thought San Diego did okay. I'm sure we'll talk about it in superlatives, whether we do that now or later, but what an intelligent football player Jaden Shaw is. Just her off the ball work and her ability to get into like the perfect spot. Clearly he's working on her shooting. She's 3 goals in already this season. She's just an incredibly intelligent striker, and she knows how to be in the right place at the right time. And she knows how to make those off the ball runs and pull defenders with her and cheeky finishes. And so I just wanted to say that even in a losing effort, I think she's a fantastic player.
Yeah.
I thought Orlando was good. I'm with you. I thought Messiah Bright had that San Diego back line stressed out.
I'll hold him.
Stressed.
She's
very good.
Yeah, she's really good in the stuff she does off the ball, on the ball, in midfield, deep, back. Because, I mean, the issue with Orlando for why you haven't seen Viscaya just, like, have hat tricks all over the place is because the defense has been a mess. But that as they've been pulling it together, as they've been getting their crash course of preseason, because, I mean, these games have been, like, preseason for the youngins. As they've been pulling it together, you're now seeing them look like a whole football team. This low-key kind of reminded me what happened with Angel City. This Angel City messed around and won at the last minute. where the back line was stressed out the whole damn game. And Katie Johnson saved him at the end. But in this case, they were able to put up three. They were able to convert and make goals.
Adriana scored her first goal and honestly deserved. She probably could have a few more in that game. Just a fantastic goal that she scored, by the way. So was that second goal. That header was lovely.
Yeah, that was
like
fire.
The bend on it was really good. And again, yeah, like San Diego scored first, and they had never lost a regular season game at home.
Yeah.
So I think it's easily for me the upset of the season so far. We're only 5 weeks in, but no one saw that coming.
Yeah.
No one saw that coming. So, yeah. And shout out to Erica Timrak. I think she's really good for that team.
Yes.
I just wanted to point that out. Yes. Wildly veteran. Okay.
I was going to say for Kansas City, let's do the camp before we deal with our games. Kansas City current beat the Gotham FC. Okay, so look. That was an NWSL game after dark in the day. Because Abby was having the game of her life. Abby Smith was balling.
She was.
She was saving everything left and right. And then we just... Until the Binya happened, and then...
I still think Davina was offside. I don't think she was little, but it,
I mean, yeah, she was barely
but it
on.
It looked off. That's
they
how
to, but they're not going to get the line. They need to have the line out. I mean, yeah, she probably was offsides, but that was that.
I don't know if she was. I just think it looks like it because she cuts that run so tight.
Yeah, but, I mean, they weren't going to sit there and get the line out, get the ruler.
No.
We don't have that technology yet. But the I was going to say, so Abby... Abby stressed me out as a goalkeeper. I mean, she's been doing this all season, but she... When I saw she went out, I was like, no!
The second goal was very avoidable.
she comes out.
She's an aggressive goalkeeper. Again, she has been doing it all season, where she comes out. She got chipped in the first game, and it got called off. Yeah.
It happened the second game, too. And it got called back.
Yeah. Rose missed.
Oh, okay. Missed. Yeah, that's right.
No. Rose chipped her. She missed. Get Wilson, Rose, please. But she plays a high line, a dangerous game, reminiscent of Sarah B out here. It got her this game.
Yeah, I was like, no. It was like a slow motion.
And she didn't even come out. She came out wide to try to get the ball. She didn't really need to.
And it was just
but
like,
she did
have
an incredible first half. Stood on her head.
Right.
Gotham was down by way more goals. And that back line struggled. Kansas City was off a lot.
Yes.
That probably helped. And there was a few where, Alec Rieger turned back the clock and got there. Turned back the clock. That's somebody's mama. She turned back the clock. But on the whole, I just thought it was a rough outing for Gotham, who obviously didn't dress purse, didn't start on the Manu.
Yep.
But I think just that was a lot. It was a lot, and I think they have to go back to the drawing board, particularly with that back line, and see who their best defense, who gives them the best chance to defensively. So I think that game asked some questions of that.
They need to go back to the drawing board. All right. Yeah. So it's your turn to talk about this OL Reign versus Racing Louisville situation.
I never like playing Racing because we don't do well. We draw them or lose to them. I don't know if we've beaten them outright yet. They're that team. I've said I think that's a really talented squad that they have. I think that they've patchworked together a bunch of international players, and it's really helpful because you have all of these different styles where if you can get them to gel, it's hard to defend for 90 just because you have so many variations of football. You know how I feel about DeMello. Dog.
Dog.
I think we get a little lax. I felt like our defense was really lax that game. Now I say that knowing we don't really have a six right now. Like, we played with Sonic, Fishlock, and the double pivot, and neither of them are really sixes. There was no Vanderjagt, and Quinn is still hurt, obviously. And it looked like it. It looked every bit like we had two people who were not sixes playing the six. They were able to pretty much move that ball through the middle in the first half.
Yes.
Whenever they wanted. DeMelo could do kind of whatever she wanted.
DeMelo beast.
I thought the Monahan goal was cheeky, though. We probably could have done better with it. Having said that, Fallon stood on her head, and that's probably why we walked away with the draw.
Yes.
Fallon's having a good season. I think there's still a few things she could do, but she's pretty damn close to being elite here.
Okay, so if Fallon likes beaches, yeah. I know she does, because she likes the water.
But she likes the Pacific. Anyway. She's fine. You're not getting my goalkeeper. Calm down. You're absolutely not getting my goalkeeper.
I was going to say, it was interesting.
But, I mean.
Y'all woke up in the second half. Jordan.
I was going to keep talking, but that's fine. I think what I do like about this team is it doesn't really seem to be a lot of panic. So when we go down, like, 2-0, I kind of believe they can come back. Like, I'm not super panicky. It looked a bit touch and go, but the play was a lot better. In the second half, Rapino woke up. I think that front line woke up a bit. Post's movement is also very good off the ball, and she's a very good facilitator. The penalty was wild. I don't know why Katie Lund decided to do that, but thank you. It was just the best. She didn't even need to come out for it. Like, the ball's gone. It was just a very weird penalty from a really good goalkeeper. And of course, Pino took it. And I've said many times, if I had one PK for my life, I would ask Pino to take it. So I don't even close my eyes if she takes penalties. Maybe I should. And then, at the death, at the 90th minute, Hoytema, who, that's my nine, I'm a stick buyer, but I think we all have expectations of her, and lately she's come through, so I really hope that Challenge Cup sort of spurred her on to start putting goals in the net. She's a good player, just got to get her confidence up, I think. So, a resilient effort. We got a point. Like I said, burn the tape. We don't talk about it anymore. Take the point. We don't have to go back to Louisville this year, hopefully. So, on to the next one, as Belichick would say. on to Seattle. That's what I've got, but better, but Olo and Quinn, please, hurry up, please.
All right. Okay, so, okay. Portland and Angel City. So, Angel City has been a wild-ass ride the entirety of the season. Another game they draw or damn near almost lose, when they were legit the better team, for most of the game until foolishness happens. But anyway, it was a draw 3-3. Let's see. I was kind of shocked initially. I mean, I guess Julie Ertz in the midfield has fixed a lot of stuff. I'll get into that in a second about the Julie Ertz in the midfield. But I think I was kind of shocked because I expected Portland to throw us into the stands. Now, true to life, Sophia Smith wasn't playing, didn't start. And so it was a little different in the sense of having that pressure. But I was pretty impressed through most of the game, how they were flowing and moving. I always forget that, like, until people see Alyssa Thompson live, they don't understand how fast she is until she cooks them up. So she was in her CP23 bag, junior bag, cooking people up. That was a beautiful goals and blouses. What?
Don't kill me, Kristen Press. I think Alyssa Thompson's better on the ball.
I mean, yeah. And she's young. Yeah. There's like experience things she needs to learn, but it still don't matter. Yeah. That's going to be a nightmare to deal with. But I mean, I like the way that we're flowing and moving. I wish a certain person would get into the point of passing Savannah when she needs to, going to the spaces she needs to. But they were moving and grooving. Now back to Julie Ertz. So what I had always wondered with this system, because seeing what they had looked like in the pre-season before they ever actually fully played, they were always doing this thing where there was two people in the back. It wasn't really a three back. It was two back, as in the two center backs. And then you really had wing backs where occasionally one would drop back. But I always wondered, because you didn't actually have a for real defensive mid, what was supposed to happen? So when Julie Ertz finally did appear, I was like, oh, that's so okay. So you needed a dynamic defensive mid center back who can actually also drop back with the two, but then can also cover ground to clean up stuff. And then it will allow your other two midfielders to attack and move. And it allowed all these people to move forward, to go forward. So actually that kind of like jam lanes when they play San Diego. But they're missing like the more dynamic pieces to prevent teams from like effectively throwing five in the box, to kind of prevent scoring. Anyway, all that to say, Julie Ertz being here, it's game two of Julie Ertz in the system. It's game two. Yeah. It was cool seeing what she was doing, where she was, you know, shutting shit down, jumping in lanes, actually also then servicing. Because if you had never watched, I watched Julie Ertz a lot when she was the Chicago Red Stars, because I was watching Chicago Red Stars games back in the day. And like, it was not a shock to me because she is a center back who she was initially a center back that came a defensive mid. She, because she can do that back and forth, and then she played with Sarah. It was like, okay, that's cool to see what was supposed to be with this system. Still kind of shocked you didn't have the backup for that in the books. Like now you have the transformation of Madison Hammond to the equivalent of this. But to not have somebody who either have a person who's as dynamic as Julie as a six center back type thing, or get you two defensive mids, or a person of defensive mid pedigree to be able to exist, that is super important for the stability of this system. Anyway, it was cool to see it working. But yeah, man, the lapses, because this is total football. When you aren't in your position when you need to be, if you're not in the space you're supposed to be, like, yes, you can go attack, but if your ass needs to defend, you need to defend. If you're not where you're supposed to be, ball start slipping, things start tripping, and things get messy. And if you're getting cooked, or if you're not, you know, focused, you know, goals can get scored. And that's a big portion of how Portland came back. I didn't like at the end of the game. I know people like to try to play keep away at the end of the game if they're up. But in all honesty, Endo and Alyssa were cooking them up. They still should have had the opportunity to still try to score. So, I mean, it was inevitable. I figured they was going to draw.
I actually thought this would end up as a draw. I didn't actually think Portland would rout Angel City for a few reasons. Main one being number 8. So, I haven't seen Lena Oberdorf in person. I haven't seen Kira Walsh in person. I've seen Desi Scott in person. She's very good. Julius is the best six I've seen with my own eyeballs in person.
Yes.
So I saw her last week when you all played San Diego off of not a full 2 days of practice. Everything San Diego wanted to do, they could not do. Like everything they wanted. They wanted to go. So if we're sitting in the press box, I'm going to call it because I'm looking at it. Right side, right? Like that goal that's closest to us. So San Diego has that goal in the first half. They want to shoot it down that right side and play it in. Julie Ertz is in every passing lane. Like everywhere they want to pass it. Be it over the head, because San Diego loves to do that direct pass over the top, drop it in, either have Shaw or Morgan come in on it. Right off of a pass, whatever. If you have Jakobsen, Ali, whoever's on the outside. So one, we love Amir Ali, friend of the pod. MA had that covered. Like, her being sick probably didn't help you all this weekend either. So she had that covered. Sarah and Julie had everything else. Like, it wasn't...
Yeah.
There wasn't anything there. Like, Julie Ertz is one of the ultimate, oh shit, we can't do what we want to do players. And that was off the back of not having any practice and not having played in the NWSL for pretty much two seasons.
But
give her a month.
Yeah, but I wasn't shocked because it's always funny. They've pulled people from Chicago Red Stars and they've pulled players from Orlando. Now, Orlando, the system, going back to Chicago, we ain't gonna talk about that man. But how they run in the system because of how they go back and forth between lines and people have to play all over the place. I was actually like, I don't know what the heck, Casey. I was always wondering before, because it was a question was Julie Ert starting that game? And I was wondering, was Casey Stoney prepared to deal with whatever Julie Ertz was shutting down with Sarah and them?
No, because Julie Ertz she's never had to coach against Julie Ertz.
Yeah. So, I knew that. So I figured she wasn't. I was always wondering what they were going to do, because I was like, with San Diego, I was like, that's going to be funny. It's going to be funny to see what happens. But I actually didn't think San Diego. I actually thought the game was going to look like it did. Now, yes, Angel City lost on some foolishness, but I wasn't like shocked at what happened with Julie. Because of what San Diego liked to do, it was just nice to see. On top of seeing, oh, that's what you're supposed to do in that position in this system. Okay, cool. Where with the Portland, the reason I was like, oh, it could possibly be a butt whipping is because of Sophia Smith, and it's not because of what Julie Ertz could or couldn't do. It was because the possibility of Paige Nielsen being out there and possibly getting cooked up, and then some of the in the tendencies where they eventually did lead the goals, where there's mental lapses. Where people aren't in the right places and stuff, because of how Sophia Smith behaves, that could get capitalized and get scored on. And that was an avalanche, particularly if you yank Julie Ertz out the game, if you were subbing her out at some point.
Yeah, but can I be fair to your defense? Sophia Smith wasn't the issue. Like, your defense did fine on that. Like, it wasn't. It's the same way your defense. But, has done a better job on Trinity Rodman than most people.
Yeah, I'm saying
she didn't start.
If she would have started and it would have said the same result, yeah. Okay, cool. But I was like, I was expecting her to start, but I forgot that she was with her boyfriend.
I mean, that's just got drafted. That's certainly fair, but I'm also like, Sophia Smith only needs 10 or 15 minutes. Like, she doesn't need.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Because
I hear you. I'm just giving this from an outsider's perspective. I don't think your defense is bad. Like, I think you have one of the better defenses, and I think Julie Ertz only makes that defense better. I am one of these people who's like, you all make me nervous when you're healthy.
So my thing about them getting beat is because it only takes Sophia a few minutes, but my concern would be, because Freya, let's keep it real. I have not liked how she's been doing her rotations. And when she's been doing her rotations, and it's the moments of between the exhaustion and then the personnel that it could go off the rails. So, like, for example, San Diego won 2-0, right? Because things went off the rails in just a short 5 minutes of time span. That kind of thing could happen. With this, it didn't happen. And I still attribute that partially to Sophia not playing. Not to say the defense is bad, but it's the little subtle shit that causes you to lose games or draw games when you could have won a game. You know what I'm saying? But anyway, with that said, I too am like excited. It's cool to see what stuff is supposed to be. Allie Riley in the press conference after the San Diego game straight up said, when Julie Ertz played, this was the first time most people were playing in their actual fucking positions in the system. So that's a big portion of why stuff looks way better. It will be interesting to see, because I know people have been disrespectful to Kristen Press and Sydney LaRue, acting like they ain't who they are. It's going to be real fun to see when they're in the system, because right now teams are trying to quadruple team, more so double, triple team, Alyssa, and it's still not working, you know, and you got scoring happening from different forwards. It's going to be interesting to see how they exist in this system with the year of people playing together and the chemistry's better, but then people playing where they're supposed to be, and then you having Sarah Gordon and Julie Ertz, to see what that looks like. Because, yeah, that is going to be scary, because I don't know what you're supposed to do with that. Because you can't continue to bracket Alyssa and Kristen and Sydney. You got to be grown up. You got to be grown. And there are several times in the last few games where I've seen defenders go, like, you know, sitting there like, what the hell's happening, you know? Chasing after Alyssa, or you got somebody else come flying up the thing. What's gonna happen when those two are back healthy? It's gonna be fun. Challenge Cup games, part two. Are people going to care about these Challenge Cup games? Probably not, because what, in theory, you play six in your division? That's a lie. You play four. Wait.
How many games? No, you play each team twice. What are you doing?
Yeah, I'm tripping. Yeah, you so, okay. Six games, yeah. So, yeah, okay. So, if you're playing that many games.
We're done playing each other.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting to see. Well, people started rotating for this Challenge Cup game. Yeah. I will say, from an Angel City game, I think they need to win. If they're trying to stay within the capacity of the Challenge Cup, and they definitely need to win Sunday because they dropped to ninth in the table. And you're at a point where it's still early in the season, but points can get away with you. CC, North Carolina Courage.
But you're also early in the season, and you're not necessarily a team that's going to lose a bunch of people.
Yeah, but I'm saying
some teams got to get points right now.
Yeah, but in this case, they can't. If they were to lose the Challenge Cup game, they probably are kind of toast. They'd have to win the next two, decisively. Yeah. But then in the case of the season, if they start a streak of losing, it's one thing to drop points where you get one. But if you don't get the points you need to, and you start, they're at the ninth place. If they were to lose, and they could be, you know, out of last place, they got to win. Or decisions.
Okay, yes, winning is always nice. I wouldn't panic after the sixth great game when the top team has 11. Like, you're not that far out. Like, you're it's a quarter of the season. Like, yeah. I'm saying this to every team. Like,
yes, it's a quarter of the season, but in some cases, okay. It's still when you're looking at the body of work, you know, what's happening with your team?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I think in the case of Angel City, they got to win if people are staying.
Angel City fan, yes, I feel like that's probably true.
Yeah, they got to.
I feel like as a neutral, it's probably fine right now. I don't think any team should be super duper panicky right now. It's my general consensus, right? Like, you can see patterns of play forming and everything else. I mean, you know, Kansas City lost, like, their first eight games last year. Like, it's fine. Like, you can make it work. You can make it work. I think your team will get better, not worse. Like, and I think you're, again, not one of those teams who's panicky about all the pieces you're losing this summer. Don't get me wrong. Julie Ertz is a big miss. But, like, you're not losing as much as a bunch of other teams, mine included, where I'm like, I don't really know what this is going to look like for four or five games, whatever it is, in the regular season. So, yes, I think anybody would want their team to win and pick up points early. But I don't think your team is in dire straits right now.
It's not even that. It's like what's happening that is coming back to not necessarily players, but from a coaching perspective. That's just my opinion. If you're looking at it, it's like you're losing games you shouldn't be losing, or you're dropping points when you shouldn't be dropping points.
Winning games they shouldn't be winning right now, right? Like it's football sometimes
too. Yeah, but,
like,
but I'm saying,
and I'm not saying that critique isn't valid, but I'm also just like, some of it's just, it's football.
Yes, but in this case, if you're looking back, also, there's patterns from last season that are still appearing in this season, and you actually got appropriate people on the squad. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
This month is going to be important.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's only so much I'm going to be able to say, don't panic, Angel City fans, but you're fine.
A panic thing. This is just from a body of work standpoint, the month of May is going to be important for everybody. That's in particular for, depending on where you are, it's going to be important. Anywho.
It's a World Cup year. I don't know. That's just how I see it. It's a World Cup year. I don't think anything makes a whole lot of sense. But, yeah, that's fine. We'll see how this weekend breaks out. Okay.
Ew, we're going to take a break. Then we will come back. I don't know. Talk about stuff.
Guys, and obviously you've done a lot of work together, and just getting to talk about your heritage as well. Have you felt like you ever seen anyone that looked like them or things like that?
I think that at the end of the day, I've been always motivated by the competition and wanting to like win. the foundation of culture and just believing in myself. Obviously, that's tested a lot as a professional athlete, but ultimately, I'm at the stage now where I'm just trying to live. And it sounds like a buzzword now, but it's like living authentically.
Right.
But as much as you can just do that, I think people will be less afraid to just be themselves and be proud of that. And having the access to have a platform through sport and be able to kind of share that message, and I'm just like always thankful to have that opportunity.
Yeah, and obviously, next round you're playing. Well,
what are kind of
just like the conversations or just thought process as you prepare for just that game?
Well, it's funny because a lot of my good friends are still on that team, so I'll probably just talk a little shit in the next couple of days. But no, I think that they're a really talented team. I've been kind of excited to kind of see this one. And we obviously have some things to work on in the next couple of days. They're a really organized team, but at the same time, we have a lot of threats that will turn them around and make it a really entertaining game for them.
So how have you felt like playing in your new position as like a six through these last few games that you've made in appearance?
I think that for me and the six, we've had a love relationship my whole life, but ultimately I've kind of ended up being a defender at various levels. I really like playing in the midfield, but it's now like I have to remind myself to give myself grace.
Right.
I've been playing it for 3 months now, barely, and just like learning every single day, learning from Fab, learning from Danny, learning from Therese, so I've been in those positions a little bit longer. And it's also like when I'm watching soccer games, watching players in those positions now and learning the movements and things like that. It's so much different than playing in the back line where you have to see everything all the time. So I think it's just getting more comfortable to play faster and ultimately just take more risks. But as I've gotten more comfortable, it's more fun. You get to get more in the attack and maybe score a goal. So I'm trying to do that. And yeah, I think it just has a lot of upside for me.
So do you think like because you played as a center back that has helped in transition?
I think so. I think there's like a lot of off the ball aspects, you know, composure, kind of like having to dictate the flow. Obviously, because I've been a defender, I feel like I can sit in the pocket a little bit more and allow Danny and Sav to do whatever they want to do in front of me. And I'm like, I'll be back here if you guys need me. I feel like it suits all of our stronger characteristics, and also we can work off of each other to just get the best out of each other.
You balling, so.
Thank you.
Where are you at so far as just, you know, adjusting with the team and kind of getting your feet wet? Where do you feel like, or how ready do you feel when it comes to making that, you know, first step on the field?
I feel pretty ready. I think that I do have some areas to improve on a little, but and just to get more familiar with my teammates with more training, that'll help a lot, but I feel good. So, yeah.
No pressure.
How was it playing in Orlando, you know, first game?
Oh, it was really cool. It was really fun, and then I went into like a pretty hectic game, which was really cool.
Yeah.
Firsthand, like what the end of the cell is, like transitions, and it was really cool. I'm happy that I was able to make my debut in Orlando.
Naomi, you got the defensive line, no shots on goal to break that. Can you talk to me what went so well for the defense?
Yeah, I think just staying organized. A lot of times we talk about we're defending the box and our defensive shape. It's the whole team together, not just the back line. So I think everyone working back and making sure we're blocking shots, blocking crosses, doing whatever we can to keep the ball in the net.
Yeah, what was it like for you all playing against Alyssa Thompson for speed? How was it defending against her?
Yeah, she's quick. I think just knowing, you know, how fast you can accelerate and making sure that we're dropping our line quickly to kind of deny that space, making sure she's getting the ball to feet instead of it behind us was really big for us. And I think ultimately just like 1v1, I think our outside backs did a great job of not giving her any clear chances, but we know she's a threat. So
you guys played with Katie Johnson last week. You talked to me what it was like defending her.
She's a great player, she's been doing great at LA, and she's so good at holding up the ball, making those runs in behind and like picking passes out. So I think she's a really good nine, and we knew that coming in. we knew kind of her strengths, and we tried our best to just keep her out of the game as much as we could.
Question is, how are your personal highlights on the game tonight?
Individually, I think we all came out kind of pretty strong. I think that was our main goal for this game, was to kind of come out all together 100%, which I think we did that. And then I think it kind of fell to more individual sparks that we needed, kind of coming in and out. But I think overall it was a pretty good team game tonight.
Yeah, I think we had lots of positives that we can take going forward, and we'll obviously have to look at the second goal. Set pieces, something that we want to really be stingy on, so we're not overly thrilled we gave up a set piece goal, but just correcting little mistakes, and I think we can take more.
Question for either one. Both goals were sort of almost fluke goals. How did you guys see them, and how did you guys go about correcting, I guess, both goals, really, especially off the set piece?
I think for the first goal, it's just, like you said, fluke. It's unfortunate. Honestly, don't think we really want to dwell on that, to be honest. It's just an unfortunate moment. But the second one, we'll definitely take a look at again. As I said before, we want to be really stingy and not give up set piece goals. So we'll have to look at the film and make the necessary adjustments moving forward.
Hi, Jasmine. Just had a question for each of you, Jazz. Just thinking about obviously playing against your former team, what kind of like thought process or just mindset did you have at least going into a game like this?
Yeah, it's always a big game. There's a level of bragging rights for sure. There was a moment too on the sideline, all my close friends wouldn't give me the ball, so you can see tension is high whenever we play each other. But yeah, every game in this league is big. It's just a little bit more when it's against a former team.
Yeah, for sure. And then for MA, as you, I mean, both of you actually have ties to just some of those community initiatives, such as Football for Her. And so I just want to get your thoughts about just thinking about that community impact, especially for a big game like Sunday, where you're going to see so many fans and young kids filling up the stands.
Yeah, community is going to be a big part of this Sunday game. I think that we want the stadium to be loud, everyone crazy. We want to bring energy as a team and as individuals. So I think that's going to be the biggest goal for us on Sunday.
It's kind of the challenge cup is for the first year during the season. Like, how do you kind of strategize, like, having that, you know, during the season, you know, take, but how do you prioritize that with just regular season?
Is that a quiz? No wrong answer. It's fine.
I think it was interesting just because with me being out last year, I think seeing that challenge cup was in the beginning of the season, I thought was actually would be nice to kind of come in and be like not so straight out the gate like season games. So I think it's going to be interesting having challenge cup games in the season. Just kind of, we got to get bodies right, everyone feeling good. It's going to be an interesting thing.
Yeah, I think in adding to that, last year we really used it kind of as a runway. We were a brand new team, so we emphasized on figuring out our identity and didn't make a ton of changes, but now we have the ability to rotate players, especially with a lot of the games being midweek, and tap into our depth. So,
there you go. And we're back. All right. So, on, you know, what other topics to talk about? We were gone for a long time. So, let's see. While we were gone, the WNBA draft happened. The NFL draft happened. The playoffs, the NBA playoffs are happening. I don't know. WNBA draft, you know, the great Haley Jones is in Atlanta. Because greatness happens
Atlanta had a good draft. I mean, Minnesota's always Minnesota. They say they're rebuilding and then into a finals or something. I mean, obviously the two super teams are the Liberty and the Aces. Shout out to the Aces for their new facility. It looks very nice. I forgot how many players they got. I was like, oh yeah. would you call it plays for the Aces too. So yeah, you have that. Obviously, Liberty, you have SLU and Stewie and Ionescu and JJ. So yeah, and this, and today I think Deladon said this is the healthiest he's felt in a very long time. So that means the Mystics are probably in the conversation. But yeah, it's a good draft. We'll see if all those picks that Indiana has had will finally pay off now that they got Aaliyah Boston, who went number one to no one's surprise. Yeah, I mean, it's, I think the WNBA has a lot of things that they could work on, expanding roster sizes, expanding number of teams so that you don't have to cut draft picks, 2 weeks in. And obviously going overseas is a risky proposition at this point, particularly in certain countries. So yeah, I mean, I think Atlanta had a good draft. I think Minnesota, it'll prove fruitful later. Same with Indiana, might take them a year or two, but yeah, we'll see. I think Atlanta's will be fun. I think they might be a year away, but I think they'll be very fun. I think they'll be a good defensive team. Yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, but that, yeah, it was cool that it was on TV. Then I flew through it. I threw through it in the last round. That was wild. And NWSL ain't gonna do that. We're gonna be there for like 2 more hours. NFL draft happened. It happened how it happened. Teams did what they did. UGA is all up into Philadelphia. I cannot believe teams let that happen. As for the NBA playoffs, I know one thing I wanted to talk about was people were mad how Giannis responded to a reporter who had a comment when he asked them when the Bucks crashed out of the first round against Miami. When he asked them, you know, hey, was the season a failure? And I think there were two conversations happening at the same time where it was basically, from my opinion, Giannis had a really good perspective that I've heard a lot of really good athletes have that are in a healthy headspace. That, nah, you don't fail, even if you do. Even if you are the number one seed and you lose to the eighth seed, which in this year, the eighth seeds in both situations, the lower seeds, due to injuries, are the lower seeds. If they were healthy, they'd probably be the second seed. So a lot of the number one seeds got fucked over, to be quite frank. But it's also like you're going to learn and grow in each season. I know from my critique would have been from a journalist standpoint is, why would you ask the question that's a yes or no? And there's a different way you could ask. Like, yeah, y'all should have had the expectation as the number one seed to win it all, right? And yeah, you lose in theory to the AFC, but what is it that you learn? Is there stuff to be learned from the season? And then you get an answer versus, yo, is it a failure?
I mean, I found that one interesting because I do think there's probably a better way to ask the question and get a similar, if not the same, answer, right? Other journalists will tell you, yeah, but he got the answer. I mean, okay. I don't disagree. I think it was a very thoughtful answer. I also think more than one thing can be true. The series is probably a failure.
Yes.
Because rarely do eight seeds lose to one seed. Or, I'm sorry, rarely do one seed lose to eight seeds. But as an educator who tells her students all the time, mistakes are lessons, right? Failure is a lesson.
Yeah.
No, like, it really does depend on your perspective and what you consider failure. If not succeeding at a goal causes you to grow and be better, then yeah, you failed, but maybe you didn't. Like, it's really about perspective. So, and I think Giannis has such a unique background and how he's gotten here and bringing his family with him and all of these other things. And he's a dad and all these other things. That's always been his perspective, apparently. But he also missed a lot of free throws. That final game.
Yeah, that part, that too. Yeah.
Was playing out of his mind.
You gotta make your free throws.
But I think it's a very healthy perspective. I agree with that. And he's won a ring. That helps.
Yeah, but I was gonna say, if anything, I would ask that question to the coach. Because, I mean,
coach might not be the coach.
Yeah, no, that's the part. Because it's like, yes, you may not win them all. And he had a good point. You're not going to win all the championships each year. However, at some point, because you are playing professional sports, you still need to be performing. And at some point, you got to ask, can the coach take the team any further than it is? And if the answer is no, then it's time to move on. Bud may not be there. And all that, let's go Dubs, let's go Warriors, let's beat these Lakers. And then y'all do whatever you do with the other series. Good luck to you.
Dylan Brooks should have been quiet.
Oh yeah, Dylan Brooks got cooked. You made that man quiet, young man.
You made him mad.
I was pissed because I'm like, I wanted the Lakers to lose, and you go do that foolishness.
You pissed off LeBron, man. Not yet, young man. Dang. That's not exactly what he said. I'm sure it was some other language in there, but not yet, young man.
I knew it was done after he talked to him before the game, and then he went and dunked it. Yeah, I was like, Lord Jesus. And then they whooped him 40 points. Like, bruh, just youngins, don't talk back to your elders. And be able to back it up. Like, be grown. Anyway, another topic, VAR in the NWSL. Okay, so if we're going to have VAR, we need to be consistent. Like, there are things that needed VAR that haven't been VAR'd. There are things that have been VAR'd that is like a why. This weekend, it's been all over the place. This is like a question. Was Dabinha off? Apparently no. There need to be some consistency. Angel City has been on the short end of the stick on multiple. I mean,
it's a learning curve for everyone, even with training. Your team's probably gotten hosed a few times by VAR. My argument for VAR is always VAR giveth and VAR taketh away. At some point, if you've been screwed by VAR, you'll be helped by VAR. Somehow you've been helped by VAR. Eventually, you'll be screwed by VAR. Like, this is just how it works. It works in every single league like that. I hope that they continue to get better.
Yeah.
With the use that by the time we get particularly to the playoffs and the Challenge Cup playoffs, that's humming along and that's being used properly for the most part. Though I will say the league or pro, sorry, does a good job of explaining it out, even if they got it wrong.
Yeah.
And they got it wrong a few times.
I'm just saying consistency. Because there have been things that were called fouls previously that are no longer being called fouls. But explanations will be good. Whatever. I need Vista to pull it together. Because this in focus, out of focus thing, not pressing buttons on games, and they're not showing up, games coming on late. Like, this is crazy. I thought I was losing my mind. What was that, Saturday? Where games kept coming in and out of focus. And I'm like, why? Why is this happening? I hope we figure this out. NWSL, call up Ion and see can you get up on the Ion network. Just like the Why not? We can be looking at Ion. Get on something. We need to move along.
That's what the W is for.
Hey, the W, hey, that's gonna be fire. Y'all joking about that. You're gonna have grandmamas and grandmamas.
It's gonna be back. It's gonna be like the old school Lifetime days for NWSL.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. It's gonna be fire. You're gonna be able to watch the games. You ain't gonna have to be scrolling to the right and then not work on the app. Anyway, I don't know why I said DUI. Oh, Kansas City has a new coach. Yes.
They've won some games. She was the assistant, and they've won two games and a Challenge Cup since she's taken over. In fact, she took over on the Challenge Cup night, if I'm not mistaken.
Yes.
They also have people back healthy, so that probably helps. And they do have Dabinha, who is always worth the money. I still think I think that back line is going to be a journey for Kansas City.
Yes, it's a journey.
If you can score goals, that takes away a lot of the stress.
Yes.
I'll get to see that this weekend. So
it's going to be interesting. I wouldn't keep AD on the bench forever. That's all I'm saying.
That's super interesting.
I know. I mean, I know there's a competing, but I don't think it's fair to AD to have her be benched when the issue at hand was it was mad dysfunction and people were out. So the defense was on a journey. It's still on a journey. But that's just me. We'll see. You'll miss AD. Y'all better be careful out there. I'd have a rotation going. But anywho, it's time for, I guess, some hits and riffs.
Sure.
It's like some hits and riffs music, not really. Anywho, so who's going first?
I can go, I guess. Yes. All right.
Wow.
Yeah. So I guess throwbacks, Fire and Desire. Rick James, Tina Marie.
Wow.
Listen, it's entertaining. It's a very long song.
Wow.
That's very loud in my ear.
My bad.
All right, here we go. But yes.
Yeah,
it's very dramatic. It's very dramatic. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. Okay. And then, speaking of LeBron, as he was in his field, this man posted the lyrics from Trouble by Jay-Z. Yeah. So that's what I went with.
I'm in trouble again. What the fuck? I tried.
All right, yeah. Yeah, I mean, you got LeBron's old ass posting lyrics. Like,
I mean, when he did that interview, he's like, I'm done talking about it. I was like, oh, that's rough for you, bro. That's rough for Dylan. Like, you got your whole team caught up now.
I mean, I think it escalated for sure because he hit him in the balls.
That'll always do it.
And he was talking. I think it's one thing to talk shit, but it's another thing when you purposely, like, retaliate and hit somebody in the jewels. Yeah, it's over for you. They're going to embarrass you and your family for life. You know.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Oh, did you want to get your other ones out?
Oh, am I doing them all? Sure. My today's are I Want You Around, Snow Allegra. And I probably did this before, but Conceited by Phil Millie.
It's not that I don't want you here.
The modern day Sade.
Don't see.
All right.
Okay, I'm done.
All right, so I guess it's my turn. Let me pull up my music. Here we go. So. It's time for karaoke season. So, you know I need to hear. It's dedicated to you, girl. Out there. Promises you made me. All right. So, Love You for Life by Jodeci. Also, my other karaoke song that I want a cape for.
Sometimes. Never ever fail.
Oh, is that not the Drew Hill song I picked? I love that song.
But we're not making love no more.
We're not making love no more by Drew Hill.
It's a very good song. So Soul Food Challenge track is very good.
Yeah, for whatever reason, this is no longer on Spotify. I don't know what happened with the rights issues, but unfortunately, Apple Music came through. It's all good. But then.
Oh, no, I had that on playlist. Now I need to find.
Yeah, well, it's on Apple Music. Well, I have it. I already had it saved. I can send it to you. It's just things crawling on me. All right. And then, Moment.
I got a feeling of you. Brought me to you.
Woo! All right. Moment by Victoria Monet.
I like Victoria Monet.
And then... This other joint, Good and Plenty, remix by a bajillion people. Lucky Day, Sage Go. That ain't his name. Alex Isley, Jack Nine. I know.
Okay. All right. Alex Isley's great. She's great. I love her.
And yeah, I don't know. Are there rants and raves? I don't really got no rants and raves.
Rants. I mean, I kind of got tweets off while we were away. You are allowed to change your mind. You are not allowed to lie and pretend like you were you were always here for Lynn Williams because some of us were fighting for our fucking lives.
Oh yeah, we were. It was like we were back against the
in 2021. Yeah, shout out to Claire. She was like, we were out here.
We were backs against the wall. Fuck Lynn Williams. We were getting yelled at for defending Lynn Williams. Hey, there was a whole, like, it was like us and Diaspora United, whole, like, fire squad getting let off on us. It was a small few trying to go hard for Lynn Williams and people getting upset. Yeah, but now y'all acting brand new? Anyway.
So, and again, like I said, you were allowed to change your mind, but I also feel like we should probably admit that some of that has to do with her having exposure on a podcast, and she is now likable because her football didn't change.
Yeah, she's still that boss. She was.
Lynn didn't change. You changed.
Yeah,
and I just want us to have those conversations as we go forward. Let's get names right.
What? Oh yes. Oh yes. Please get names right. Oh my god.
Especially if they've been in the league for a long time. Please. I don't, like, Mama's tweeting is wild to me at this point.
Please don't confuse Kristen Edmonds with Lynn Williams. And then you do on the broadcast, and then it appears in Lynn Williams' 60 of goal clip reel.
Or don't be rooters and have a photo of Carson Pickett when you're talking about Jeanine Becky. Like, please, be serious. You are one of the two major news organizations on the planet that most people get their news from. And you're private, so they pay you. Yes, I know the difference between AP and Reuters. And how they work. We gotta be better. Like, coverage includes correct coverage.
Write the, say the right names, guys. Say the right names. Right people.
What else we have? Yeah, we have, not a rant, I guess, good news for women's football. We have a Champions League final. It's Wolfsburg versus Barcelona in the Netherlands, and Eindhoven, sorry. So yeah, those are two good semifinals, actually. I thought they were great. Both came down to one goal over a tie, and then I guess the Met Gala was happening while we were taping this. Shout out to the GOAT, Serena. She is pregnant.
Yes.
So sorry to spoil that for you if you didn't know, but she did the reveal tonight, she and Alexis at the Met Gala. So congratulations. I know Olympia is super excited, so good for them.
And
that's all I got.
All right, so yeah, they're raves. We will do superlatives like next week when we got our lives together. There is another episode that's happening that will be dropped this time of the episode, or around the time of the episode, where I'll probably already be dropped, where there's a bunch of audio that you didn't hear due to me being sick and my crazy work schedule, from a variety of things, being in the streets. And then other than that, we still got Patreon recordings we got to do. It'll be two watch-alongs this month. Actually a special watch-along that we got an agreement to do it, and I think because she's now out of season, we can do it with her. There's another podcast we're gonna do a watch along with, so hopefully that can happen this month. I don't know, we'll be in the streets, come see us, more to come in the near future because there's something happening June 4th. But anyway, we gonna shout out to everybody in the 2 Cents family. All y'all, shout out to our street team, Nubia, Georgia, JG, roommate Alex, billboard Alex, chauffeur Alex, Ebony, Navidad, Mercario, Maya, out here with the Kicks United. Wait, is that right? Kicks?
Yes.
That was a fire. Shout out to all the patrons, all our sponsors, Yapow Sports, Carolyn Nettles. I will say this. If you must do apology, don't forget to do your apology in private, but also public if you make a public offense.
Oh no, if your disrespect was public, your apology needs to be.
That's
if
all
your mistake was public, your apology needs to be public.
That's all I'm gonna say on that. You deal with that as you will. We will get into that in a future episode, probably more in depth, but yeah. And then, I don't know. What are we gonna do? it's 8 o'clock, so we gotta go. So what we gonna do? We gonna stay hydrated,
stay melanated.
We gonna make the black, ooh lord, make sure the black women in your life are so pretty.
It's been a while, huh? And make sure your shea butter bombs are always elevated.
And then yeah, have a great week. You'll hear us again, because we got games to go to. We'll be back.